Time to talk mushrooms and other fungi now with Thomas Volk, a professor of biology at the UW-La Crosse. He's an expert on mushrooms and all things fungi. And I'm telling you what, I'm really glad to have him with us today. And I hope you have some questions about mushrooms, other fungi. Give us a call. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. Tom Volk with us by phone. Tom, hello. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun. I've been on for about 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. And it's always fun to have you on. I know many people are not aware that you had a heart transplant a couple years ago at the Mayo Clinic.
I did.
How are you doing? And how did your transplant change your life?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. I just had all my annual tests last week, and everything's great. And so makes a big difference in being able to walk in the woods and be able to have some stamina to actually go up hills and things like that.
So that's wonderful.
Really fantastic.
Yeah, great news.
So thanks for asking.
On your website, you have the fungus of the month. What's the July fungus?
The July fungus for this month at tomvolkfungi.net is Chloris saborea originacens, which is a green stain fungus. And so if you go in the woods, you see some little green cups on wood, and the wood underneath that is stained this really deep green-blue color. And so that's a very interesting fungus to find in the woods. And interestingly, that fungus was used for veneer and to make a lot of inlaid wood kind of products before they knew how to dye wood normally. So there's something called Tunbridge ware that's very famous inlaid wood from Europe that's really quite beautiful. So I've got pictures of all that kind of thing on the page.
Yeah, and give us the website, you know, because I think people would be nice to have them able to go to the web address while you're on the air.
Yeah, so the webpage is tomvolkfungi.net.
TomVolkFungi.net.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Corey in Wausau has a question for you already. So let's go to Corey. Hi, Corey.
Hello.
Hey.
I just had a question for your guests. If there are any guides that are detailed enough to let a novice pick edible mushrooms in Wisconsin, or is it something to just avoid the risk?
You need to be really careful if you're going to eat mushrooms because there are things that are poisonous. There's probably, I would say, 40 different species in Wisconsin that are poisonous and maybe 100 of them that are really delicious edible ones. And so you would want to be able to recognize the poisonous ones as well as recognizing the edible ones. There are some pretty good guides, but it really takes a lot of study and looking at the fungi in person. Because you don't get all the nuances of it by looking at pictures very often. So, you know, you could try the Audubon Guide, or there's one called Mushrooms of North America that's good. So there's several guides you can use, and certainly there's a lot of stuff available on the Internet, like my webpage, and there's a lot of other resources as well.
Okay. Thanks, Corey, for calling. And on to Bob in Green Bay. Bob, hello to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. I know nothing about mushrooms, but legal ones. I found a golden mushroom in two different types of locations last fall in Wisconsin, one on the edge of a parking lot and one in a swamp, and it had a round bulb and was as golden as it could possibly be, pure golden. I thought I came and found a piece of gold.
Yeah.
And I tried to find it, identified on the web, and no go.
Yeah, it doesn't sound familiar. Was it shiny?
Shiny, yes, very shiny, very gold.
That does not sound familiar. Did you take a picture?
I took many pictures.
Oh, well, send them to me and I can take a look at it.
Okay, I'll do that.
And it's just going to send you probably on to your website at tomvolkfungi.net.
Okay, very good.
Right, yeah, right. And there's lots of places you can find my address there. So.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Bob. And Melanie in Oshkosh, it's your turn. Hi, Melanie.
Yes, hi, Larry and Tom.
Hi.
Excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold. I'm so glad you have your program. My husband and I are avid mushroom hunters, and we've been finding a lot of chanterelles this summer, so we're just thrilled because we love chanterelles.
Yeah, this is the time to find chanterelles. That's the best thing that's out right now. And it's been so wet and hot that that's what the chanterelles like. So look under, do you find them under oak trees, I assume?
Well,
or sometimes
not
maybe
necessarily.
An Oshkosh, you
no,
find them under
conifers.
No, we're
just kind of finding them spread out. Mm-hmm. We hunt Door County for chanterelles mostly, although we've hunted Kettle Moraine too. But we kind of find them spread out, and this year is just such a good year, and we've had some years that have been really bad where we didn't find any, and it's my favorite. And
yeah, so for those of you who don't know about chanterelles, they smell like apricots.
Yep.
Mm. And the flavor and the texture are really good, so this is a very favorite mushroom in Europe as well as people who know it in this country.
And it's also one of the few that you can eat raw, is that correct, on a salad?
I don't recommend eating any mushrooms raw because you don't know, you know, can you wash it enough to get the bacteria out and where the bugs climbing in it? And I don't really recommend eating mushrooms raw.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, usually we cook them.
A few here and there aren't going to hurt you so much, but
okay.
I wouldn't do it on a regular basis.
Well, we do hunt spring through fall, so we've eaten probably 40 different kinds of choice mushrooms mm-hmm. over the years. We started about 10 years ago, and back then, we didn't really see many people in the woods, but we're noticing now is when spring comes for the morel hunting
mm-hmm.
That we're finding more and more people that are starting to hunt. So it's
yeah,
kind
especially
of
in the spring, that's when you're going to find lots of people hunting mushrooms. But in the fall, you can pretty much get the woods to yourself.
Yep, and summers too.
Okay. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. And Bill in La Crosse, we're on to you now. Hi, Bill.
I was wondering about the two different kinds of mushrooms out there, that psilocybin were one.
Wait, I'm sorry, what was the type?
Psilocybin.
Well, you're talking about the hallucinogenic ones, and actually we don't have any of those in Wisconsin.
Are they all from cow manure?
They're mostly from cows in the Deep South and California, so they're not, there may be one around here, but it's not common at all. So in Wisconsin.
I know there's some where you wouldn't think there's some, like in the high mountain areas.
Yeah,
it's orange with spots.
Yeah, the ones in Wisconsin that look like that don't have any hallucinogen in them. They'll make you really sick.
Yeah, it just
I don't recommend.
Really
certainly, they're certainly illegal. So I, that's
yep. Stay away from them. What you had one other question, Bill?
Yeah, the Indians that used them in different various places with the American Indian Church didn't think they were poison.
Right, but because in different parts of the country, they have different amounts of the poison and different amounts of the toxin. So in that particular species, there's two different toxins in there. One is hallucinogenic and one is will make you really sick. And in the areas where there's more of the hallucinogen and less of the toxin, that's where the natives use those for religious purposes.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Bill. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. We're talking mushrooms and other fungi with Tom Volk, professor of biology at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. He's an expert on mushrooms and all things fungi. Take a look at his website, tomvolkfungi.net. But give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. I think there's something like, 70,000 species of fungi out there, Tom?
That's the current estimate, maybe 72,000 or so. But, and, you know, maybe, 200 of those are really good, delicious, edible mushrooms. And another 200 of them will kill you or make you wish you were dead.
Yeah.
Because of the symptoms you get from it.
So it's Russian roulette out there. If you don't know what you're doing, you shouldn't be picking mushrooms.
Exactly. So if you study them, there are some really relatively easy ways to do it if you know what you're doing.
And there are classes. I mean, this sure. is probably not the time of the year, but I'm sure you must have taught classes at one time or another.
Yeah, I teach a mycology class here at UW-La Crosse in the fall and give. Classes for the general public every once in a while.
Sure. Ann in Fairchild, we'll give you a shot now. Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, I was wondering, types of Boletus mushrooms here in Wisconsin, any varieties?
We do. We actually have what they call the Porcini. We have a very close relative of Porcini, which is Boletus edulis. Another good edible one is the chestnut bolete. Which you find under, oddly enough, under oaks.
Okay.
that's a good one. there are several Suillus species, that people eat, but the porcini is the best one out of those.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's turn to Bob in Land O'Lakes. Bob, hello.
It's funny. Exactly what I was just going to ask, if we had the Boletus edulis porcini.
Yeah, we find it in the summer here mostly. It's probably a slightly different species than what they have in Europe. I've seen both of them, and they're not quite the same. But the flavor's really very similar. They're much more common in the Kettle Moraine than in other parts of the state. But if you go north, you can find them as well, in the northern parts, Eagle River and such.
All right, thanks, Bob. Andy in Mount Horeb, your turn. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a woodworker, and I get a magazine called Fine Woodworking.
Yeah.
And in the latest issue, there's an article done by a woman, I believe she was from Michigan Tech, and she's using fungi to dye wood, to put dark streaks in the wood.
Mm.
And one of the ones she was using was something called Dead Man's Fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a common one as well.
Yeah, I just had a comment, so.
Ah, all right. So it's still being done, even here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you can get some really pretty patterns in the wood because of the fungi. Something called spalted wood is very common. It gives these beautiful black lines going through the wood. You can find it in really expensive bowls that people have turned and such. It's really pretty.
Really pretty. Tom Volk, our guest, professor of biology at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, as we talk mushrooms and other fungi with him here on the Ideas Network. We're talking mushrooms and other fungi with Tom Volk, professor of biology at the UW-La Crosse. Our guest today, Larry Mueller, here. Really glad to have Tom with us. Before we go back to the phones, I did want to mention that in maybe an hour or so, I'll be heading to Door County with Renee and Emily, and we'll be broadcasting tomorrow at 11 o'clock from the Peninsula Players Theater in Door County. We're going to have a lot of fun. I know we've got Bob Lautenbach from Lautenbach's Orchards in Fish Creek, and Dean Volenberg, the Door County Ag Agent, to talk with us about cherries and the cherry business. And then at 11:45, we'll talk culture, history, and the natural beauty of Door County with a couple of authors and publishers, Paul and Francis Burton. And you're invited. Doesn't cost anything. Just come. Come a little early, and we'll have a chance to visit. If you're in the Door County area, I hope you'll take the time to do it. Following the show, many of us will be going to a fish boil just up the road. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope to see you there. If you're in the Door County area, stop by at 10:30, somewhere in there, and have a chance to sit in, talk with me, and sit in on one of our programs. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it. So with that in mind, let's go back to the phones, and Nan in Madison has a question for our guest, Tom Volk. Nan, hello.
Hi. Hi. We've always been warned about eating mushrooms, so we're not very brave about it. But we do eat puffballs and morels. Well, we've added another, and this is one that my husband used to always go with his mother to hunt. And these grow in box elder trees late in the summer. Do you know what they're called?
That's, oddly enough, it's called the elm oyster. but it grows in the knot holes of box elders after it gets cold, usually after the frost, but sometimes before. And that one's pretty distinctive. So it looks like an oyster mushroom, but it has a stem that's in the middle of it. And so that one's pretty distinctive.
What does it taste?
Box elder.
What does it taste like, Tom?
It tastes like an oyster mushroom, so it's got a little bit of a sweet flavor to it, but the texture is much tougher than a oyster mushroom.
Yeah. What's your favorite mushroom to eat?
To eat? Probably chanterelles.
Chanterelles, huh?
Yeah, they're pretty good. But there are some others. One other one you can look for at this time of year is the chicken of the woods, and that's a very, very popular mushroom. It's bright orange. Either yellow or white underneath. It looks like a shelf. And those are really good to find And so that's a pretty safe one. So if you look on my webpage, you'll see lots of pictures of the chicken of the woods.
And speaking of your website, I think you've got getting close to a million hits on that website.
I think I probably passed a million. For a while I lost track of the counter, so I'm probably over a million now. So it's TomVolkFungi.net.
TomVolkFungi.net. I'm on there right now on one of our computers here, and it's a great website. Terry in West Bend, it's your turn. Hi, Terry.
Hello. Yeah, hey. Thanks for taking the call. Well, like your last caller, I'm not very brave either, but I've been watching this one mushroom that has been growing on my back property, typically early fall, and it's either a black inky, I think it's called, or something shaggy.
Uh-huh.
And the black inky, if it's the black inky, which I think it might be, because when it disintegrates, it does turn kind of like into a black ink.
Right, but the shaggy mane does that too.
Oh, it does.
And also an inky cap. Inky caps are a group of mushrooms that turn black. They turn inky as their spores mature, and so they do. They turn inky to help to disperse the spores. And if you look on my webpage for the shaggy mane, you'll find pictures of it, and you can see if it matches.
And I've got a book. I'll visit your website as well. The book, the pictures are very, very similar. I understand that black inky, if you want to have a beer along with your mushrooms, it might make you sick.
Right. So there's one that is in the same genus, according to some, that will act in your body like antabuse does, that they feed to alcoholics.
Oh.
And so if you eat the mushroom and then have alcohol either 24 hours before that or 24 hours after or sometimes longer, you will get very sick.
Oh,
from
okay.
That.
Okay, so that's the risk if I want to be a risk taker.
Yeah.
Right. But if you look at the shaggy mane, it's one of the foolproof four. And so once you can recognize that, it's really very distinctive. It doesn't look like any of the other inky caps.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Terry. Thank you for calling. Cecilia in Crawford County. We're on to you now. Hi, Cecilia.
Hi. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
We have some shiitake logs.
Good.
And we ended up with a lot of those plugs left over.
Uh-huh.
And they've been wrapped up tightly in a refrigerator for 2 years. They look just the same. Are they still good?
Probably.
So
it's a matter of whether you'd like to take the chance that they've gone bad and waste any precious logs that you're going to inoculate.
Well, the
plugs
cost so darn much money.
They probably have gone into a state of dormancy, and they won't. They're not going to grow as fast. They might work, but I'd recommend getting fresh ones.
Okay.
And we actually have a really good shiitake growers in Wisconsin, in Peshtigo, called Field and Forest Products, run by Joe and Mary Ellen. And so if you go to fieldforest.net, they can help you with any kind of shiitake or any kind of mushroom cultivation problems. They're really nice and very good at helping you out.
Okay. Right. Now, these logs are 2 years old, and we're just starting to get some shiitakes
yeah.
on them. That's about right?
That sounds about right. Sometimes you get them after the first year, but usually it takes a couple years. It depends on a lot of things like the diameter of your logs and the conditions and how wet it was and a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
But you should be getting them for 3 or 4 years now off of those logs. If
you're... Yeah, it's always fun when my husband comes home with a couple big ones.
What was the name of that website you just mentioned, by the way?
It's fieldforest.net.
Fieldforest.net.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Cecilia, for calling. Appreciate it. By the way, someone wonders, Diane wonders, why is fungi pronounced the way it is when fungus is pronounced with a hard G?
No. That's an age-old problem. So if you want to make the old joke that a mushroom walked into a bar and the bartender said, "No, I won't serve you," and the mushroom says, "Why not? I'm a fungi." that's how you pronounce it. But different parts of the British pronounce it fungi or fungi sometimes. So you can decide how you'd like to pronounce it. I've always said fungi. We don't really know how the ancient Romans pronounced things because they left us very few CDs and almost no tapes of how they pronounce things. So we can pretty much do what we want.
Gene and Ashland, we're on to you now. Hi, Gene.
Hi. As long as you're talking about mushrooms, you might as well talk about some repairs of liver damage. Are you familiar with Dr. Bert Berkson? He has a MD and a PhD in biology and has done research in toxicology, mycology, and microbiology. And the FDA appointed him principal investigator for intravenous lipoic acid in the United States. He's the only doctor to have used lipoic acid in the life-saving treatment in patients suffering acute liver failure.
Is this the one comes? Does this come from milk thistle?
No, it's an antioxidant. Let's see, I forget where it's from now. But there's a whole book on his studies of alpha lipoic acid brought on because he was able to save two couples that had acute, they were dying of acute liver failure.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors around everywhere, the medical profession, did not know this use.
What is his name again?
Bert, B-U-R-T, mm-hmm. Berkson, B-E-R-K-S-O-N, M-D, and Ph.D.
And Tom, you're not familiar with this.
I'm not familiar with this particular one. There are some, you know, various life-saving things. Milk thistle is the one that I'm thinking of. It might actually be the same thing. There was a poisoning in California a year or two ago that was cured by intravenous milk thistle. So this may be the same thing. I'm not quite sure.
Interesting. Thanks, Gene. Thank you for calling.
There was just recently a poisoning in Illinois of a woman who ate a death angel. So within the last week, there's been a poisoning there.
And she died?
She died, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Thanks again, Gene, for calling. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Let's turn to Eric in Viroqua next. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you for calling.
Hey, Tom, this is the guy who brought you the crazy polypore tuber.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to talk about hen of the woods and maitake mushrooms, and maybe you could tell the folks the wonderful health qualities they have.
Yeah, that's also one of my favorites, too. It's called Gryphula frondosa, the hen of the woods. The Japanese call it maitake. And it grows at the base of oak trees, typically, can be really big, looks like a hen sitting on its nest. That's why it's called the hen of the woods. It looks kind of like a bunch of leaves stuck on the ground when you find it. Sometimes they're up to 20 pounds each.
Wow.
They can be pretty big, and they're very tasty. And they also are good for you. They have some really good medicinal properties, probably lower cholesterol, are antiviral.
Blood pressure.
Blood pressure lowers with them. So they're they've been used in China and Japan and Korea for thousands of years.
That really helps with my blood pressure is when I'm... And just general stamina in the fall when I eat them, I feel so much better. It's just amazing.
Yeah. So they actually dry really well. So if you find a big one, you can dry them and then rehydrate them for later use. They're really very good.
Yeah, they keep very well.
Yeah. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate the call. Ron, was it from Chicago, but on the road. Ron, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a question. On my home in the Chicago area, I have a wooded area, and one year I saw this bright white globe, and it was a mushroom. At first, I thought it was a volleyball sitting here. Could you tell me what the mushroom is?
Yeah, that's a giant puffball. So those are edible if you find them when they're young and still very, very white inside. They have the texture of a marshmallow, and...
Okay.
I usually cook them up by dredging them in egg and breadcrumbs, and then fry them in butter. And they're really very good.
Yeah, they're quite good.
I actually once made a pizza out of it.
Oh, you're kidding!
So I sliced it lengthwise, and then I used that as the pizza crust. And it was really very good.
It was,
but not very crusty.
No,
it kind of fell apart. I have to work on my technique.
Okay. Oh my goodness. I had another question for you, and it's just slipping my mind here. There's a slime, isn't there, that resembles, I hate to say it right now, dog vomit?
Yeah, the dog vomit slime mold is very commonly found in mulch, and people get all upset about it because they something growing in their mulch, and there's really nothing you can do about it, so you just have to find some way to enjoy it.
All right. I did get an
email yesterday from a person in New Jersey who was a newspaper reporter. They had just built a new playground for kids, and there was dog vomit slime all over it, and so they closed it and roped it off to keep people out, which was really very silly. So people overreact for these things, but they're not harmful at all.
Mike in Holman is up next. Hi, Mike. Thank you very much for calling.
Good afternoon. I was wondering if Tom had any plans on having a future adult class for mushroom hunting.
I would like to do that. I mean, I haven't been ambitious enough to set it up, but maybe next summer I can do something like that.
If
you send me your email address, I can send you information about it. I usually have at least one local foray every year, and I can tell you when we're going out, and you're welcome to come along with us.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. If someone has lots of mushrooms in their yard, is there something going on with the soil?
Usually, it depends on what kind of mushrooms they are. Usually, that's a sign that it's a very rich soil. If they're just growing on the soil, but if they're there are some fungi that we call mycorrhizal that have an association with the trees, and so those fungi are helping out the trees by helping to absorb nutrients from the soil, and so those are very important in the health of your yard. So it's a good sign if you have mushrooms in your yard, I think.
Good.
But people always want to get rid of them, which I don't quite understand. People are spending. You know, you spend all kinds of money and time trying to find this new plant that will impress the neighbors and something new to show off. And then people get this new and interesting thing in the yard and they want to kill it. So that, you know, is beyond me. I don't understand why people don't enjoy what they get for free.
Let's go to Robert in Oak Creek next. Hi, Robert.
Hi. My daughter just got a sulfur polypore. She's bringing some of it over for us for this evening, and wondered to know what you thought of it.
Yeah, so that's the chicken of the woods. Sulfur polypore is the same thing, sulfur shelf. It depends on which species it is. If it's a kind that has yellow pores underneath it, you have to take the very tender edge off of it, and that's the part that you eat. But if it's the one that's white underneath, you can eat mostly the whole thing.
Uh-huh. And how is it rate compared to the regular brown-colored hen of the woods?
Oh, it's very different. It's a very different kind of flavor. It tastes like chicken. If you put a little chicken flavor with it, I put it in chicken stew, and you can't distinguish the pieces of chicken from the chicken of the woods.
Oh.
The head has this very, you know, peels like the muscle of chicken. It peels exactly the same way.
Hmm.
So it's really very interesting. I've always thought that if we had a state mushroom, that should be the state mushroom.
The sulfur?
The sulfur shell for chicken of the woods, yeah.
Okay.
So if somebody wants to take that up, I'll back you up.
All right. Thank you, Robert, for calling. Gwen and Weyerhauser, it's your turn now. Hi, Gwen.
Hi, Larry and Tom. Thanks for taking my call, and
sure.
I'm going to be brief because my cell phone is going to go with the battery here. I have a mushroom that grows in my perennial gardens that it comes up, and I usually I'm thinking it's either late fall or early spring, and it looks like a gray-green ball. And when I stomp on it, stuff just flies everywhere.
Okay.
And
you
I just wondered what
balls.
That is.
Yeah. Those are some puffballs. So those are, we talked about the giant puffballs earlier, and these are just these are a small version of that. And so they're pretty harmless as well, although
is the dust
some
bad
people,
for you? Because it really goes when I...
Yep, that's what they do. They are set to puff those spores out when raindrops fall on them, and you just, you know, put a whole field of rain on them at one time.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. There's a bioluminescent fungi. Is foxfire, is it?
Foxfire, yeah.
What's that about?
There is a fungus called Armillaria honey mushrooms that the mycelium of it glows in the dark. And so what will happen sometimes is that a piece of the log will break off, and you can see this foxfire inside the log that really glows pretty bright, actually. And so there's some evidence that the natives used it, to walk the trails. They would pick a piece of it and carry it around with them to help them find their way in the trails in the dark.
You've taught about medical mycology. We've had a little of that. We've talked a little bit about it, but can you explain a little more or talk a little more about that?
Yeah, medical mycology isn't exactly what you think. It's about the fungi that actually infect people.
Ah.
And so things like yeast infections or ringworm, or in Wisconsin we have a couple of really nasty fungal diseases called blastomycosis and histoplasmosis.
Yeah.
Blastomycosis is particularly bad in... it's more common in northern Wisconsin than it is in other parts of the state. And so those are a couple of pretty nasty diseases.
Yeah, I suffered through blasto.
Did you? Well.
It was not something I picked up in northern Wisconsin in the woods, and it's not a pleasant experience.
No, it's a disease that you inhale the spores into your lungs, and then the fungus starts to grow in there, and it can spread to other parts of your body, depending on the conditions. So it's really hard to get rid of because fungi are very closely related to animals, and so it's hard to find something that will kill the fungus without killing the person.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was going to die for a time there. Deborah in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Deb.
Hi. I think you just... covered what I was going to ask about, but I had to turn my radio all the way down. But I was camping at Point Beach State Park, and these logs were glowing at night, and so I saved part of them, and I gave some to the campground host so they could examine them at night. But and then one more question, and I'll hang up and let you answer. If you're a person is like allergic to mold, is there a type of mushroom or molds or fungus that they can that would be beneficial, that would act like an antibiotic type, have that effect on it to counteract it, allergy?
It wouldn't counteract the allergy, but there are certainly are fungi that can kill other fungi. And in my lab, we're working on some of that. But as far as allergies go, there's not much you can... there's not anything you can take directly, although they're having some success with some of the sublingual stuff that you put under your tongue. But you'd have to consult a doctor about that.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Deb, for calling. Appreciate it. And Tom, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure, and we'll have to get back together again sooner rather than later. Thank you so much, and I want to remind everybody that Tom's website, take a look at it. There's lots of information, and as he said, over a million hits. TomVolkFungi.net. TomVolkFungi.net. So pleased to have him with us, and he'll be back, and we'll talk again with him about fungi. And then just finally, just a quick reminder that I'm in Door County. I'll be there probably in about 5 hours from now, as a matter of fact. But I'll be broadcasting from Peninsula Players Theater in Door County. We're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow on this. We'll be talking about the cherry industry to begin the show, and then we'll switch over and talk about Door County itself, a little of its culture, a little of its history. And following that, you're certainly be invited to go along with us to a fish boil in Door County. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to doing tomorrow. Bob Lautenbach will be one of our guests who's got Lautenbach's Orchard. Bob, if you're listening, by the way, I may stop by this afternoon to your orchard and take a look around. So I hope you're listening. And I also will be talking with Dean Volenberg, the Door County ag agent, and then with Francis and Paul Burton about the history and natural beauty of Door County. So that's tomorrow. In the meantime, I thank you very much for listening, and please stay with us. There's lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.